So today, Rabbosai, as an introduction to Parshas Dvarim, we're going to try to present the insights of a number of Gedolei Yisrael regarding this coming Shabbos. First of all, in terms of a concept called Kavod HaBrios, we have a sicha from Reb Chaim Shulevitz. I don't know if you have copies of it. I try to send it to you. I have another sicha, or part of a sicha, from Rav Soloveitchik, which, again, I didn't get a chance to send to you because my access to the computer here at the ELC is somewhat limited. And if we have time, I have the insights of the Slonim Rebbe to what the significance of this Shabbos is, Shabbos Chazon, and I think it has particular significance for us today. Ela Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael Be'evra Yarden. And Moshe Rabbeinu mentions a number of places. He doesn't tell us, or Klal Yisrael, what exactly took place in those places. Rashi says, Monakan, Kol HaMakomos, what's common to all the places that are mentioned. Sheikh Isu Behen Lifnei HaMakom. Moshe is involved in the mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach Esam Yisrael. The rebuke of Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael is perhaps Moshe's final legacy before he leaves this world. And the Ramban, in his introduction to Sefer Dvarim, and also in his commentary in Parshas Ekev, points out that some of the Averos that Moshe will spell out a little bit later on in this chapter, in chapter 1, for example, the Mei Meriva and the Chet HaMeraglim, those sins are cardinal sins. They cannot be forgiven. But by allusion, Moshe Rabbeinu refers to other sins. And Rashi says, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu employs the tool of remez, of allusions, of alluding to it? Why alluding to it? Rashi says, is kiran beremez? Why beremez? Why not spell it out? Mipnei kvodan shel Yisrael. And respect for the Jewish people. Sometimes rebuke could be too harsh, too direct, and it almost undermines a person's dignity and his kavod habrios. And today what we want to discuss is the significance and the scope of this concept called kavod habrios. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu just hours before his death. He's coming to be mekayim the mitzvah of Hocheach Tochiach. Rashi explains that he gathers together the entire community of Israel. No one could say, well, had I been there, I wasn't there, I would have said this, I would have said Ben Amram, and I would have counter-argued. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to rebuke them at a time in which they have to accept his words. They can't fight with him at this point. This is his final will and testament. And amongst the chatoim that he's alluding to are Chet HaEgel, Chet Meraglim, which engendered a destruction of the entire male population of Israel during the 40 years in the desert. They would not enter into Eretz Yisrael, Chet HaEgel, which is a punishment that's still hovering over Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, Ubiyom pakadati, upakadati, whenever I mete out punishment against the Jewish people, that retribution will be intensified because I'll remember the Chet HaEgel that hasn't been yet paid up. And yet, nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu is careful not to spell out those sins. The language here is very telling if you have the text. Lo nizar Moshe shelo lefared es chatoim beferish el beremes. And why not to spell it out? Kidei shelo levaisham. Not to humiliate a Jew. Av shahoyeh bezeh mitzvah tochacha. Despite the significance, it's outweighed in a sense. The mitzvah tochacha, as great as it is, by the respect that we have for human dignity, and not to humiliate a person. The Rav Zichron of Rocha, as I mentioned, gave a lecture many, many moons ago. It's probably about 40 years ago. It's republished in a different form in a book called Yemei HaZikaron, if you happen to have it. And he mentions that this concept of respect for the dignity of man lies at the heart. It is the pillar, the foundation of so many areas of Jewish law of halakha. He gives the example of kvura, or Kvod HaMes, what we call respect for the dead. The Torah, the Halacha, is absolutely opposed to cremation or to any sort of incision in the body after death. Kvod HaMes really reflects itself in many different mitzvahs, not only burying the dead, also the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim is Mishum Kvod HaMes, the Iser of Nivul HaMes, not to do anything to the body, it's all because of Kvod HaMes. We have Aninus and Avelus. We have Zokein V'Eino L'Fichvodo. It's really amazing when you think about it that a person, a scholar, is exempt from a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. You and I would be chayav in that mitzvah. He's exempt. Why is he alleviated from the mitzvah? Because it's Eino L'Fichvodo. If he has to run around to take the sheep and care for it, it's a pegiah in his kavod. Maldin pnei chaver baramin. If you remember, Chazal say noach lo liodam lahapil atzmo l'kiv shavesh v'lo lahalbin pnei chaver l'rabim. Tosus in Bav Metzia assumes al pi derech hapshat that this is yeharik val yavar shlo lahalbin pnei chaver v'ram. V'chayotze v'elu, the Rav says there are many others. Many examples of this. V'itochen, and it's possible, shekol ha-mitzvot shebeinonim l'chavero, the entire gamut of interpersonal mitzvos, it's all mevusasot, it's all built on one value, and that's the value of kavod abrios. In fact, the Rav quotes the Ramban. According to the Ramban, the non-Jews, B'nai Noach, are obligated to fulfill seven mitzvos. And those seven mitzvos are all reflections of one worldview, and that is Tzelem Elokim, the kavod that we must have, and even a non-Jew must have, for the soul and the image of God. But you know what? Maybe there's a limit to kavod abrios. And before I saw Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, if you would have asked me for my intuition, I would have answered the following. You have a person who's righteous, he's a moral person. Again, he may be more religious or less, depending upon his background, his upbringing. That I understand. But what about a Russia? What about an evil person? Isn't there a red line that we finally cross beyond which a person forfeits his rights to claim kavod abrios? And Reb Chaim has a different answer. He quotes two gemaros referring to two rishayim. One of them was responsible for the destruction of the Migdash. The other one was almost responsible for the destruction of all of Klal Yisrael. And yet, take a look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkafa, the perspective of Almighty with regard to these individuals in terms of kavod abrios. The Gemara tells us in Gittin, in the famous sugya of Churban Abayis, Kamtza Bar Kamtza, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Bo Re'ei Kama Gedola Kocha Shel Busha, Sharei Siyei HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bar Kamtza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu aids Bar Kamsa, he comes to his support. What does that mean? He says, we're talking about the busha of a yachid. Bar Kamsa suffers from humiliation because he gets thrown out of the party. Umishum bushto, lo nimna milios rodefis kol Yisrael. As a result of his experience of busha, he's going to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. He's going to be Moser on them, a Moser, a classical Moser has to be Bar Kamsa to tell the Melech Roman. V'ach bushto shal adam mushchazeh, this low individual who suffers busha, and you know what, maybe I couldn't care less about his busha, let him stew in it. Such a Rosh Marusha who's a rodef against all of Klal Yisrael. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that because of that busha, I will see to it that my temple is destroyed. He Sheikh Riva es Beis Hamigdash. Amar Ablazer Bo Re'e Kama Kocha Shel Busha. How powerful in the eyes of God is Busha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, as a result of that Busha, that this lowlife suffers, I'm willing to be Machriv my Beis Hamigdash. Because that Busha is a terrible thing. You would think God should care about that Busha. Protect the Busha of Bar Kamsa and allow him to do what he did. But perhaps, again, in my mind, at least, someone who's even lower, if you get lower than Bar Kamsa on the ring, on the rungs of this ladder, is Bilam HaRasha. You know, Rabbi say everyone has their favorite Rasha, you know, the one that they think is the worst of the worst. Bilam, in my book, is the worst. Like, you can't get lower than him. Like, he's crawling on the ground. And the Gemara tells us that why is it, Rashi quotes it in Chumash, in Parshas Balak, why is it that Bilam's donkey is put to death immediately after the donkey, the Aton, gives Bilam an earful, a real tochacha, she dies. Chazal tell us, Shelo Yoru, because if she would remain alive, people would declare, he Shesilka is Bilam, she was greater than Bilam, and because of her, with her tochacha, Bilam had to be removed. V'loaya yachalosh lahashiva, and Bilam couldn't respond to this aton. The aton, the donkey, gave Bilam so much of a rebuke over the head that Bilam didn't even have the words to counter on it. But from now on, people are going to appoint to this aton, and they're going to say, oh, she was greater than Bilam. What a low life Bilam is. Says Rashi, V'chas ha-makom al kavod ha-brios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmonis on kavod ha-brios. Kavod ha-brios. Which Bria? I hardly call him a Bria. Maybe you'll call him a Bria. Bilam says, Reb Chaim Shulevitz, to Avi Avos HaTuma, Kol Pchisa Shavolam. Anything that you can identify with a low moral state of behavior, you can find it in Bilam. He's the lowest of the lowest. And not only that, he teaches it to his Talmidim. He preaches what he practices. You know, he tells his Talmidim, you are my disciples, you have to have Ayin Ra, and you have to have Ruach Gavoah. This is what you should personify. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Choshesh, he's worried about the Pekiah of the covenant of this lowlife. And it's even more complex, because had the donkey stayed alive, she would have been a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because everyone would have pointed to her and say, look, God opened her mouth. But nevertheless, God is willing to forego the glory of Hashem, the Kiddush Hashem, for the sake of this lowlife, because he's chas al kvodam shel brios, bria l'rabos even bilo. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, with regard to that historic confrontation between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, and if you recall that Rabbi Gamliel's shita, he would wave the flag of strict admissions rules to the yeshiva. Not everybody gets in. You know, it's not like these yeshivas today. If you can learn for a few hours, they let you in. And if you learn for twice as many hours, you become the Rashi Bahag. Things are a little bit watered down. I know some of you gentlemen went to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, you went to yeshivas where the standards were pretty high. But today, the story's a little bit different. So Rabbi Gamliel said, Kol she'ein tocho kibaro lo yikaneis lebeis hametrish. If he's not on the inside like he is on the outside, we can't let him in. And there was a tremendous amount of opposition to Rav Gamliel. And in one particular confrontation between Rav Gamliel and Rav Yoshua, Rav Gamliel was pogea in the covet of Rav Yoshua. And then Rabbi Gamliel was deposed from the Nasius. He was the Nasi of Israel, and he was deposed. Who do you think would have taken his place? Who should have replaced him? It should have been Rabbi Yoshua. After all, Rabbi Yoshua was the one who was hurt by Rabbi Gamliel. But the Gemara says no. They did not appoint Rabbi Yoshua to replace Rabbi Gamliel. Mishum shal yadav hoya hamais. Because the whole thing happened as a result of this confrontation between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Says the Meiri. Afal pi shahaya Rabbi Yoshua roi lios nasi. If you ask me, says the Meiri, who was the best candidate to take over the Nasius after Rabbi Gamliel was Rabbi Yoshua? He was the man. Lo mi nohu. They didn't appoint him. It makes yesh le Rabbi Gamliel bazeh halisha sadas. Because Rabbi Gamliel would be weak in his mind. He would be emotionally distraught. He would be embarrassed that here he had this altercation with Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua took over the leadership. V'chein matzinu v'machlokes shel Korach. Yomer Elazar ben Aaron. V'yorem es hamachtos. Why is it that in the machlokas between Korach and Aaron, the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove the machlokas was placed on the shoulders of Elazar, the son of Aaron, and not Aaron himself? Lo rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomar keli Aaron atzmo kidei lilame derech eretz. Aaron is too much involved in this controversy, in this plugta, and we have to have derech eretz. This shmuz on Kavod HaBrios, my friends, is really a musa shmuz on all of what musa is all about. I mean, you can take this as an introduction. You know, if you were taking musa 101, this is the shmuz that you should give. Because basically, what we're saying is that the Torah is so sensitive to the most subtle emotions of man. And when we have to be careful about not insulting someone, the demands of the Torah are infinite. They go down to the dake dakus of a person's feelings. For example, the Gemara tells us about the tragedies that befell Pnina. And why? Because she was irritating her sister Chana, who didn't have children. And why was she irritating her? Because she wanted to get Chana to be mispalel. She had the right kavana, but it doesn't matter. Because she was bringing Chana to a state of distraught, of distress, therefore Pnina was punished terribly. He says, I can understand in the case of Rabbi Gamliel Anasi, who is a Kadosh Hashem, I can understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered that so significant that he would waive the rights of Rabbi Yoshua, who was the right perfect candidate to replace Rabbi Gamliel. But that's because the Torah would respect and protect the kavod of Rabbi Gamliel, Nasi Yisrael. But in the case of Korach Vadoso, who stood up and rebelled against the Kahuna and against Aaron, Moshe says to him, you are rising up against Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen represent Hashem. Your rebellion is against God. Ultimately, they would all be consumed by fire. Hashem has to worry about their feelings. And he's not going to allow Aaron himself, who is the Kohen Gadol, to remove the machtos. But we have to learn from this that not only should we be careful and sensitive to the honor of someone as great as Rabbi Gamliel Nasi Yisrael, we have to be respectful of even those who deserve to die because Noadim al Hashem, they rise up in rebellion against God. Their kavod is considered something weighty. It's not hefker. Don't just throw it out. God will punish them precisely as they should be punished. Kel emunah vein ovel, God measures out their punishment meticulously. But we don't have the right to add even one little thing to their punishment. And therefore, we begin to understand the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which is the second paragraph on the second page, that in the case of Tamar, he mutzeis vehi shalchal chamel, she was being taken out to be burnt at the stake, but she didn't point the accusing finger at her father-in-law Yehuda. She wanted to spare him the humiliation, and therefore she sent him the signs that he had given her. And the Gemara tells us that noach lo liadam, as we mentioned before, that a person should not be malbim pnei chavero barabim. That's a sugyan bav metzia, and then there's a sugyan ksubis. The Gemara ksubis says mar ukva haya no sein stokali ani kishalo hayro eu. Mar Ukva made sure to deliver the tzedakah to a poor person in a way that he wouldn't be noticed, he wouldn't be seen. He wanted to give a matan b'seser clandestinely. Yom Echad, Rodaf Achrav Ani Ladas Mia Nosim Lo Tzedakah. The Ani was curious. Who's the one who's giving him tzedakah? He runs after him, tries to find him. Mar Ukva runs. V'nichnas L'tanur. And he doesn't want to embarrass this Ani. So he goes into an oven. And why? Because noach lo liadam sheyapel atzmo l'kiv shenayish v'lo yalbin es pnei chavir. Again, I'm not saying that we can live up to the standards of Arukva, but nevertheless, when we learn these stories in the Talmud, it gives us a flavor of how important these attributes are. It gives us a vision of what we could strive for, a dream for. Lo amru adam chayev adam lahapil atzmo el noach lo liadam. In other words, it's worth it for a person. We're not talking, according to this particular approach, in terms of chiyuv, that you have to run into the oven, and if you don't do so, you're liable for non-fulfillment of the chiyuv. No, we're talking about what's the way of doing it, what should be the right way. And the question one could ask is, how does the Gemara derive conclusions from Tamar? She was before Matan Torah. In fact, the episode of the frogs in Makas Tzvardeya, when they jumped into the Tanur before Matan Torah, and there it doesn't even apply to human beings. But the Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Shar Aleph of Nefesh HaChaim, which is one of the most difficult chapters that's ever been penned, and he addresses the case of Yaakov, who married two sisters, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that the law is that even before Matan Torah, our ancestors were dedicated to the Shmiras HaMitzvos, as the Torah testifies with regard to Avraham Avinu, L'man Yedativ, etc. Why was it then that Yaakov Avinu violated the prohibition of marrying two sisters? And the answer is, again, only Reb Chaim Volozhin could explain this based on Kabbalah, that Ba'asodos El Yonos Al Yedei Kain Yudkenu Chidushim Gedolim B'chol HaOlamos. Again, Rabbi Osa, I can only translate this loosely. You know, the Reb Chaim Volozhin's thesis in his book, it's the main thesis, is that what goes on in the cosmological spheres above is determined by what goes on down here in the Olam HaShofel, in this low world. And Yaakov Avinu knew that by marrying two sisters and having children from each one of them, he could be poel, he could have a tremendous impact up on high. In a tikkun in the Olamos, in all the higher worlds, the spiritual worlds. And as a result of all these tikkunim, he would be the father of Klal Yisrael. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, we could only make, Yaakov Avinu could make such a calculation and justify his decision and marry two sisters because it was before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, Nasa v'Nishma, we don't have a single hair's breadth of a right to bend the halacha and give license to something, even if it would be metaking all the Olamos Elyon, all the higher worlds. But before Matan Torah, that's where the halacha is not totally regulated in a formal way. The law is not absolute, but rather allows for these kinds of decision-making processes, again, only if you're on the level of Yaakov Avinu. Therefore, lifnei matan Torah lo amad adam bifnei achra'a im mutar asa. Only after matan Torah we have to ask, is this action allowed or not allowed? Before matan Torah, there was a different standard of making that decision. When I had to ask the question whether I'm allowed to engage in it, it's not a question of mutar, but rather, what will be the impact of my actions? Will they be good or the opposite? Why was Tamar ready and prepared to give up her life? Because from the perspective of the ultimate toilet, meaning the impact or the repercussions, it was worth it to give up her life and the two babies, the embryos within her, even though, again, these babies would ultimately father David HaMelech, or one of them at least, Zara, and that would be the Melech HaMashiach. And all that would be okay. Ubilvad shelo lahalvin pnei chaveru barabin. Again, she could have humiliated Yehuda and caused the whole stir, sued him for damages for her slander, and brought the proof. And then she would have had saved herself and her two babies. No. Here, you make a different kind of decision. Maybe that decision-making process would make more sense after Matan Torah. And maybe perhaps you'd be allowed to be Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, and I certainly think you would, in order to protect your interests and your life. It's Pikuach Nefesh. And they are accusing you of something that is absolutely wrong. There's no truth to it. But you know what? Noach lo liadam sheyapil atzmo. In a certain moral sense, there are absolutes. And this is one of the absolutes. Even after Matan Torah, this is the Chiddush of Reb Chaim in the next paragraph, there still is a din of yapil atzmo tokiv shereish, because Mar Ukva in the story did not want to embarrass the poor person. He threw himself into the kiv shereish. No, if that be the case, it's Yehoreg Val Yavar, we're talking after Matan Torah, it should be a Chiyuv Gomor that he has to do this in order not to cause someone humiliation.
Well,
yes?
That story with the Kibshan Eish, how are you going to understand that? Is it that he had to, it must have been that the person, if he knew that Baruch, or maybe in his position, was giving him money, he would have been embarrassed, correct? Because it seems like from the surface, it was for himself. It was a humility on his own self that he would did it. But so we have to understand it in a different way, no?
Let me just formulate your question, Joe. What you're saying is that on the one hand, it's humiliating to see the face of the person who's supporting you. On the other hand, he was running afterwards, so he was waving. He was waving at him. His curiosity was so intense, was burning, that he would even be willing to suffer whatever humiliation comes along. That should
we have to understand that the Marukpa knew that once he saw that it was Marukpa, maybe he was so poor, maybe it was something to do with Marukpa, that he knew. So that's why, because on the surface, there's no embarrassment.
But one thing you see clearly from this Gemara is that there's no mechila over here. You know, that would be an interesting... Why not say, look, if he ran after Marukva, but like you say, maybe he didn't know who he was and he didn't know how humiliating it would be. But in any event, Tosus in Masechta Sota addresses this question and he says the following, that amongst the people that go into Gehenna and don't come out of Gehenna, is Malvin Pnei Chaveru Barabin. And therefore, you see the severity of this crime, and the Chomer HaVeira is so great that it outdistances the three Averos Chamuros, which are not permitted for Pikuach Nefesh. Now, not all the Rishonim accept this opinion of Tosus, but the very fact that one of the Bali HaTosus accepted such a view, that if you have three averos which outweigh pikuach nefesh, then there's a fourth avero that's even more severe, because all the other averos allow you to get out of Gehenna eventually. This one doesn't. In any event, on the bottom of the page, he has a Gemara in Chulin, and on which you might want to look at, and then on the top of the next page, he has a Gemara in Brachos, which is a very famous Gemara. That's really the source in Halacha for Kavod Abrios. And the Gemara talks in the name of Rabbi Yehuda about someone who found Kelayim in his Beged. And what does he do? And the Gemara basically weighs the possibility that if he would strip himself of this Beged Shel Kelayim, then it would be absolutely humiliating for him. And therefore, maybe Kavod Abrios would outweigh and trump the Iser of Levishas Kelayim. So the Gemara says no. He has to take off the clothes. Why? Because of a pasuk. Ein chachma ein tvuna v'ein etzah keneged Hashem. Says Reb Chaim, if not for this special pasuk, if we were stuck with the my timer, we would have assumed that, you know what would be chachma and what would be etzah? Let him wear it. Because Kavod Abrios is so great that it could override the Iser of Kelayim. And in fact, the Gemara says that when it comes to an Iser Derabbanan, we can be matir such an Avera for the sake of Kavod Abrios. Then the Gemara goes on to say in that same Sugyan Brachos, Gadol Kavod Abrios, Shedoche Es Losa Seshiva Torah. It overrides a low session of Torah, but it's got to be b'shei v'altaseh. It can't be b'kum v'aseh. Nimtzeinu l'meidim, if you take a look at the fourth paragraph on the page, ad kama gadol kavod abrios. Mi gadol shebigdolim ad pachol shebibchusim, whether it's the greatest of the greats, we spoke about Rav Gamliel Anasi, we spoke about the lowest of the low, and Bilam, and Kamsa bar Kamsa. But nevertheless, it's always considered a very, very significant halacha. The gufei Torah nidachim mipanav, that we can be doche even in Isur Torah for the sake of Kavod Abrios, again b'shei v'al taseh passively. And why is that? Says Reb Chaim, nira, in my opinion, yisod chomer Kavod Abrios gedulasehu mishum sha'adam atzmo gadol ma'od. As I said, this is the introduction to Musa. Because all of Musa and the sensitivities that we have for our fellow human being, it's all because we have to appreciate who man is. We must appreciate man's greatness. This obviously, Rabbo says, is not the Navardika sheet of Musa. This is the sheet of Musa of greats like the Alta from Slabodka and his Talmidim, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz and Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, all those who wave the banner of Godless Adam. The Lachain, if you understand and appreciate how great man is Kvodo Chamur Kolkach. His Kavod is so great. Elo, you know what our problem is, says Reb Chaim, Ein Olanu Musag, we don't have a concept of Godless Adam. We don't really understand what it's all about. The reason why we're surprised about how far the Torah and the Halacha goes with regard to Kavod Abrios is because we really don't have any conception, any appreciation of how great man is. In fact, Chazal say on the pasuk Kiddoshim Tiyu, in the Sifra it says, Yachol Kamoni, Tamid Lomer Ki Kadosh Ani. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way, after telling us to be Kiddoshim, to point out Ki Kadosh Ani, that I, meaning God, is sanctified? Says the Brisa in Torah's Kohanim, Kiddushasi Lamala Mikiddushasem. I just want to point out to you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know that my Kedusha is greater than yours. Meaning, if the Torah would have said Kedoshim to you, it means because man could reach the identical level of Kedusha as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That makes your hair stand on end. The Torah says Ki Kadosh Ani, you should know that I topple you in Kedusha. My Kedusha is Lamalam in Kedusha Asim. And then on the pasuk that says V'yayisem Rak Lamala, Chazal say Yochel Kamoni. Maybe man could climb the ladder of spirituality and reach the highest rung, which is Kamoni, which is like Hashem. Again, these are words of Chazal that we ourselves would not be able to say. Talmud Loma Rak. Rak is a mute. Gdulasi Lamalam Gdulasim. But there's a Hava meaning Yochel Kamoni. And if not for Chazal, we couldn't say it. We don't appreciate how great man is. Chazal did appreciate, therefore they can ask the question, Yochel Kamoni. I just want to comment on this paragraph, two comments. Number one, I can accept this with regard to Adam HaRishon Kodem L'Chet. Yeah. When Chazal speak about the fact that the Malachi Asharis wanted to worship Adam Arishon, the Chiddush of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is that even after the Chait, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the Kaf Yad, you know, he put his the palm of his hand on Adam Arishon, and he reduced him, you know, honey, I shrunk the kid. Still, we still have the Yachal Kamon. You know, we still think that we should be worshiping man. And that was the approach of the Alter from Slabodka. He felt that, and he had a Sifra Zuta that says that one of the first questions they're going to ask you when you get to the Old Emes is, Haim Lachta Eschavercha Lech. That you have to take another person and put him over you as if he's your king. Again, these are all asagos that are way, way above our comprehension. But the Rav Zichron Levracha, as I mentioned to you at the outset, I think sheds a whole new light on this concept of Kavod HaBrios. He begins by quoting the Pasuk Nase Adam B'Tzalmenu Kibusei. Man is the Tzelem Elohim. And the Ramban, in his presentation, embellishing this pasuk of Tzelem Elokim, quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Ukvod v'hadar ta'atreyu." It's very interesting. We're talking about two concepts, and as the Rav points out, the Ramban is equating them. One concept is Kvod Elokim, and the other concept is Kvod Ha'adam. Apparently, they're one and the same. Insofar as man is a Tzelem Elokim, and God has bestowed upon him that kavod, is kavod Elokim in Chazal is called kavod HaBrios, but it's all the same. And in effect, what we're saying here is that the concept of kavod with regard to man is a positive concept. We have to give kavod to man. And the Rav asks the following tmimistika question. He says, wait a minute. Kavod is a good thing? Should man strive for kavod? Is that what his desire is? Is that a good midah? According to our religion? He says, wait a minute. Take a look at all the statements of Chazal about kavod. For example, the Mishnah Novus in the fourth parak says, Hakina v'atayim v'akavod maltsiyin asadim in Olam. This is a terrible thing. The Gemara says in Erevin, "Kol machazer al agdula," which is kavod. If a person runs after kavod, agdula barachas vimenu. So, in other words, on the one hand, kavod seems to be a very good thing. It's identified with kvod Hashem, tzelem elokim. So many halachas are built on this foundation, and yet Chazal say, "Wait a minute." The Torah doesn't want you to go for kavod. Let's take kavod and push it away. So the Rav answers that the pasuk in Tehillim, which we're very familiar with in the 24th chapter, says Melech HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is called kavod, the Melech HaKavod. Now, if the word kavod applies to Hashem, and he quotes other psukim where it does, it means that amongst the various attributes and descriptions of Almighty God, one of them is called kavod. Then you know what mitzvah should kick in? V'alachta v'drachav. We're called upon at the end of Sefer Dvarim to imitate God. Mahu rachum, afatorach, mahu chan, afatachum. Is mahu melech hakavod? Afatah tiyeh mechubad. In other words, from this context, you take Tzelem Elokim, you equate it with kavod, and now we say that kavod is a divine attribute. And therefore there is a positive value called kavod. And the Rav says, Michad Gisa, from one perspective, By the way, you hear that? Do you hear that sound in the background?
Yeah.
That's the newest sound for ambulances. They changed the sound for ambulances in this country because they don't want to scare people. It used to sound awfully similar to the sirens. Anyway, so we had Gisa Kayamim Gidui Ushlila. On one hand, Chazal seemed to negate and downplay this whole idea. It's pejorative to look for kavod. Umeinach kis. On the other hand, kayemet halaat kavod abrios l'ruma madrigot. We speak about kavod on the highest level, and yet we want to run away from kavod. Says the Rav, the answer to this question lies in the famous Gemara in Masechet Nida Daf Lamed about the embryo when it enters into this world, and after having studied the Torah with the Malach. Now the Malach is so shal piv, and he oats him shamach mash bino. So when man enters into this world, he takes an oath. And what is this oath? The Gemara says, it says in Yeshayahu Anavi, ki li tichra kol berach tishava kol lashon, ki li tichra kol berach zeyom ha-misa, and the Gemara proves that with psukim, tishava kol lashon zeyom ha-leda, neki kapayim ubar levava shalon asal ashav nafshi, velonish balimir ma. There's a shvua that is taken and imposed upon us on the day of our leda, and that's called tishava kol lashon. And what is the nature and the substance of that shvua? Lo nasa lashav nafshi, not to waste away that nefesh. Hashem is taking a nefesh, a soul. He's taking a piece of immortality. He's implanting it in man. What's man going to do with it? And Hashem says, you know what the deal is? You're going to take a shvua, you're going to take an oath. What is the substance of the oath? Ma shvua mashbin also. Teheit tzadik vialtei rosha. Vafilu kol ha'olam omrim lo tzadik atohayei beinecha kerosha. Hevi odea Shakarish Baruch Hu Tar, etc. etc. Shabbat Shenasa Vachatorahi. Imata Meshamra Betara Muta Vimlav Hareini Notla Mimcha. We have to deserve this great gift of a Neshama Torah. Says the Rav, an unbelievable Chiddush. Why a Shvua? What's the place here for a Shvua? What's the context of a Shvua? Says the Rav, the concept of Shvua is connected with Shlichus. Whenever I accept upon myself shlichus, to be an agent, I take upon myself a responsibility to implement that which the Mishalech wants me to do. If that shlichus is difficult and challenging, it has to be supported, it has to be bolstered by a shvua, by an oath. And man is a shaliach. The first shliach, the paradigm of a shliach, is Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shmos Perigimel at the Snet says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vata, and now, Lecha Veshlachacha El Paro, I will send you to Paro. But the word Eshlachacha comes from the word Shaliach. This one pasuk, says the Rav, reveals so much truth, so much depth. God who's Ein Sof, God who spans all universes, appoints a shliach, an agent, to operate on his behalf, his with a capital H, basar v'dam, flesh and blood, who's here today and gone tomorrow. And who is that shliach? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rav says that we have a principle called shlucho shel adam kemosa. How could it be that mortal man could be a shliach kemosa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rav says, I don't have a complete, total answer to this question. But what I can tell you is, it's undeniable that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shliach of Kel. Vayishlach Malach Vayotzi'enu Mimitzrayim. When it says that a Malach took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, it's Vayishlach, it's the Shliach. Which Malach is it? He says, Vayivra Elokim es Adam Betzalmo. You know what it means to be a Tzelem Elokim? To be a Tzelem Elokim means to accept a shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have a part of us, an immortal soul, a divine spark. To us, the rule with regard to us, you can apply the rule of Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, because Shlucho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nivra B'Tzalmo, insofar as we have the Tzelem Elokim, we are Kamoso. And the Rav establishes that every single individual member of Klal Yisrael is a Shliach of Hakel. Again, he says that we don't always understand what that Shlichus is. We cannot always reveal and know the scope of that Shlichus. The Gemara tells us in the Yerushalmi and Kiddushin, Tosis quotes in the Sugya of Kibbutim, that despite Rabbi Tarfon's great Kibbutim, when she, the mother of Rabbi Tarfon, came to the Beis Medrash when Rabbi Tarfon was deathly ill and begged the students to pray on behalf of her son, callously, they responded, "Adayin lo higia l'chatzi kibud." After her description of what Rabbi Tarfon did for her, you know, he used to bend down, she would climb up, the whole bit, you know, put his hands underneath her pitter-patter feet so she shouldn't feel the koshi aretz.
They didn't say it to her. They were just talking about it.
But what does it mean? I mean, instead of saying, you know, we're going to dedicate 15 chapters of Tillim for the well-being and the health of your son, Rabbi Tarfon, the Godel Hador, they say, like, fly kite, I'm not impressed. So the Rav says in this drasha here, again, I'm just giving you little highlights here because we don't have time, he says that we don't know what our shlichus is. And we think, for example, the case of Rabbi Tarfon, that his shlichus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a shliach HaKel, he's brought here in order to transmit the Torah, to guarantee that the Torah will reach the next generation. So you know what the Chachamim told the mother of Rabbi Tarfon? There may be a whole other reason why he's a shliach HaKel in this world. We don't know. Maybe he is the shliach to teach us Kibud Eim. From him we have to learn what Kibud Eim is about. Vadayin lo higia l'chatzi kibud. He hasn't even done half of the teaching, the pedagogy, that we have to learn from him what it means to be Makai in the mitzvah of Kibud Eim. Therefore, they were really expressing the greatest tefillah on behalf of Rabbi Tarfon. Normally we say that a shliach has to have a dover katzuv. He's got to have a limit, you know, A, B, and C. This is what he has to do. But with regard to our shlichus, it's limitless. And Chazal say that Einam meis v'chatzi mitzvos of v'yado, he can never fulfill his shlichus because it's infinite. Also, with regard to shlichus, we have halacha that you appoint the shliach when the mishaleach and the shliach are far away from each other. The shliach doesn't have, I'm sorry, the mishaleach doesn't have the ability to give the get, because he's out there in the Ukraine, so he appoints a shliach here in Yerushalayim. But not so in the case of our shlichus. Chazal tell us that wherever we do the mitzvah of Hashem, Hashem is there to help us. L'sayeya. And that's the Yua, that's the Yata, the Shemayim means that Hashem is close. So our shlichus is radically different than classical shlichus. But one thing that's common, man deserves kavod abrios. The dignity of man expresses itself in the fact that he is a shliach hakel. I always think in terms of the paradigm of a shliach hakel, we discussed this so many times, Esther and Mordechai at the time of Achashverosh, Esther fulfilling her shlichus, Mordechai his, and together they were the shluchei hakel that brought about the geula and the Yeshua. But we don't know what our shlichus is, and each one of us, with all humility, has to know. And this is Kavod Atzmi. I have a shlichus. Everyone has to turn into himself and look inwardly and say, I have a shlichus. That's my Tzelem Elokim. I was brought here for a purpose. And I will do the best that I can to seek out how I can be a shliach hakel, to find every opportunity to do so, never to limit and always to expend all the energy I can. I know I can't do it all, but I got to do the best I can. And my wife, Tzolzak Gazud, always says to me, you know, if you want to find someone to do a job for you, put it on the shoulders of someone who's very busy. It's those very busy people who can always find room and time to take on more energy. You get a person who always seems to be laid back, he's got plenty of time on his hands, he's not the one you want to ask. We have to take upon ourselves all these shlichuyot and try to do the best we can. Take on as much as we can, again, only if we can, without a nether, right? And then, We are expressing that element of kavod because the kavod is identical with, as we saw in the Ramban, Tzelem Elokim. The Tzelem Elokim means to imitate Hashem. Hashem is the Melech HaKavod. We are His Shluchim. I just want to end the Shia with one vart from the Nesiv HaShalom of the Slonim about this Shabbos coming up, fast and approaching upon us, Shabbat Chazon. He quotes the Brit Tzadik and other Kabbalistic sources that Shabbos Chazon is the greatest Shabbos of the year. It surpasses even Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuvah, everything. Why? Because on this Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the love that He has for Knesset Yisrael at the moment of Churban, at the moment of destruction. Only a Hasidish Rebbe could get away with this. These are antithetical concepts. That at the height and the depth of a profound Churban and destruction, that's when there's a Gilui, a revelation of the greatest Ava of Hashem for His people. And that's why Chazal tell us that at the moment of the Churban, the Kruvim were Me'uravim Zebazeh. They were hugging each other. One representing Hashem, the other representing Knesset Yisrael. Does this make any sense? Not to the rational mind. But if you have a Hasidish mind, this Shabbos, we all ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show us that Ava. The Ava is Benistar. It's the Ava of Churban. We don't want the Ava of Churban. We want the Ava of Gilui, the Ha'aris Panim. And Ramban writes that the Ha'aris Panim, the greatest R, the R Olam he calls it, is the R of Eretz Yisrael. We're here in Eretz Yisrael, and we're longing and craving for that R Olam. Yiratzeh may it be His will. On this Shabbos, the Shabbos of Chazon, we should see the revelation of the Chazon of the Akris HaYamim, that love of Hashem that's inherent in Churban, come to the fore. The Gili of the Ar Olam. In Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be zochet to see that all these tragedies and this terrible Magefa should end immediately. And we should see that the Gili of Hashem's love and not the meat of Din. Kei Ratzon. Amen.
Amen.